I wanted to talk tonight about a happy time. And I got this thought this afternoon, and I thought, you know, we need something that is happy. We talk about sin, and we need to talk about sin, don't we? We talk about the results of sin. We talk about the consequences of sin. And this must always be on our mind. But I thought it would be good for us tonight to talk about something happy. And I want to use the most unusual passage of Scripture to do so. Please open your Bibles to Acts chapter 25. Excuse me. My happy voice may go out on me. Acts chapter 25, and I want us to begin reading with verse 23. And I want us to go on into chapter 26 and go through verse 3. Acts chapter 25, beginning with verse 23. So the next day, when Agrippa and Bernice had come with great pomp and had entered in the auditorium with the commanders and the prominent men of the city, at Festus' command, Paul was brought in. And Festus said, King Agrippa, and all the men who are here present with us, you see this man about whom the whole assembly of the Jews petitioned me, both at Jerusalem and here, crying out that he was not fit to live any longer. But when I found that he had committed nothing deserving of death, that he himself had appealed to Augustus, I decided to send him. I have nothing certain to write to my Lord concerning him. Therefore I have brought him out before you, and especially before you, King Agrippa, so that after the examination has taken place, I may have something to write. For it seems to me unreasonable to send a prisoner and not to specify the charges against him. Then King Agrippa said to Paul, you are permitted to speak for yourself. So Paul stretched out his hand and answered for himself, I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because today I shall answer for myself before you concerning all the things which I am accused by the Jews, especially because you are expert in all customs and questions which you have to do with the Jews. Therefore, I beg you to hear me patiently. Here we find the Apostle Paul bound in chains. He has already gone through a beating. He is now standing before King Agrippa, no doubt weary from lack of rest, from all of the problems that he has encountered up until this time, and to stand before the king and say, I am happy, King Agrippa. I am so glad to be here. I am looking forward to standing before you and presenting to you all of the things that I have been accused of, and to be able to speak for myself and be heard by someone who understands our customs and our ways. He was happy. You wonder, after knowing the life of the Apostle Paul, the many problems, the many trials, the many tribulations that he has faced in his life, how can this man stand before a king which is now getting close to the end of his life and say, I am happy? Well, I want to suggest to you tonight, my friends, that this is the attitude of the Christian, to be happy. Regardless of what life hands you, regardless of what difficulties that you have before you, we always have a reason to be happy. And I want to share with you maybe a few things that has popped into my mind today about being happy as a child of God. And I want to share with you some things that I believe that we need to be happy about in our lives. The first thing is this. I think we need to be happy because we are different. Now, you know, we know Paul told us to come out and be separate, and he meant be separate from the world. Well, I'm not talking about being separate from the world. I'm talking about being separate from all of the beings in the world. Turn with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. We read Genesis chapter 1 and we read of the beginning of everything. The creation that we were a part of. That started out with nothing but darkness. And now we have life. And I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. God makes His greatest creation. And this is what it says. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. This one verse that takes place at the very beginning of time makes us different than any other living creature on this earth. We can go back to chapter 1 and we can read where He made the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the seas, and all the creeping things that creep upon the earth. And He did not give them the breath of life. He did not breathe into their nostrils that which made man or made them in His image. When God breathed the breath of life into man, we became like God. We became immortal like God. We are made in His image. And that makes us different. Most everybody here knows that I keep an aquarium in my office. And I have to tell you, I love my aquarium. I love the relaxation that it gives me. Just when I'm all confused about something I'm trying to do, sometimes I'll just stop and I'll turn around and I'll watch my little fish. And they'll chase each other around the aquarium, and I'll watch the bubbles as it comes up and down, and it relaxes me, and I love every minute of it. I can't tell you how many of those little fish that have died in my aquarium that I have picked up out of my aquarium with my net, taken it to the men's room, and flushed them down the toilet. You know why? It's an animal. Its life has come to an end. There is nothing else for this little fish. He's dead. But you know what? You and I will meet physical death. But it will not be the end for us, as it is my little fish. We will continue on. Because God breathed into me and to you the breath of life. He gave us something that He did not give any other creature. And we need to be happy about the fact that we are different, that we can continue to live when this life is over, that we can continue to be with God. And I'll talk about that as we move on through this lesson. So we need to be happy today because we are different in that way. The next thing I think should be important to us, we should be happy in the fact that we are allowed to make choices. Now, again, I want to refer you to Genesis chapter 2. And I want us to look at beginning with verse 15 in Genesis chapter 2. Beginning with verse 15. I'm sorry. Beginning with verse 14. No, let me back up and try this again. Well, I've got it right. I'm not just not looking at the right place. Okay, verse 15. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Then the Lord God took the man and out of the garden in Eden to keep it and to tend it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. God has done something else for mankind here. He has given them, or us, the ability to choose our course in life. When you got up this morning, you chose for yourself what you wanted for breakfast, or if you were even going to eat breakfast. You chose for yourself the clothes that you were going to wear this morning. David noticed tonight when I come in, I'm not wearing the same thing I wore this morning. Is he the only one in here that noticed that? We make choices every day, and some of them are so insignificant, just like what I've just mentioned, but some of our choices are tremendously important. The choice that man has just made here, or is about to make here, is a detrimental choice, and I'm going to talk about that next. But the fact is, we have now been given choices. Choices to do the right thing. Choices to do the wrong thing. We all sit here tonight together as God's children because we made a good choice. We made the choice of coming together as God's family to worship the Lord once again today, to be with each other and to be with God in this assembly. And that was a good choice. We have so many people today that did not make that choice. And we should need to be happy that we can make choices, because if we could not make choices, they will be made for us by someone or something else. I think we need to be happy today because God had a plan. And again, I want to go to the book of Genesis, this time chapter 3. And this time I will start at verse 14. Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. We read here, now, man has just committed sin in the Garden of Eden. And God is going to deal with them for their sin, and He is also going to deal with Satan. In 14 it says, so the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field, and on your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all of the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between her seed and your seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. What is God doing here? God is coming up with a plan. This is the first indication of a plan that God has come up with to fix this mess that Adam and Eve has created in life. You see, He gave them the choice, and they made the wrong choice. Now, because they have made the wrong choice, something has to be fixed. Have you ever noticed that? That every time you do the wrong thing, something has to be done to overcome it? If you paint something the wrong color, what do you usually have to do? You have to go back and repaint it again. If you put the wrong part in your car thinking you have fixed your car and it's not the right part, what do you usually have to do? You have to do something different. You have to fix something that you've done wrong. Something wrong has happened with life in this passage of Scripture. And now God is going to take it upon Himself to do something to fix the mistake that man has made. And we all know that sin is a mistake that man cannot fix alone. He needs God for this one. So God has begun here in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. I am going to fix the problem, sin, Satan. I am going to send someone, and you may bruise his heel, but he's going to bruise your head. The first prophecy of the coming of the Christ. He had a plan. And we need to be happy about that. The next thing we need to be happy about is the fact that we have a Savior. And this was the plan in Genesis 3:15. And as we move into the New Testament, we find that this plan begins to come to fruition. And we need to be happy at because of that birth that took place in that little town called Bethlehem on that starry, starry night. We need to be happy about that. We need to be happy that the Son of God at age 12 said to his mother and father, I must be about my Father's business. To have that understanding that I am here for a reason, and that reason is to fix what man did back in Genesis chapter 3. We need to be happy that Jesus found John the Baptist and was baptized. Not because he had sin, but as we read in Luke 2 and verse 49, Matthew 3 verse 15, because righteousness needed to be fulfilled. And Jesus said to John, I want you to baptize me that we may fulfill all righteousness. And we need to be happy about that. Because had Jesus not done that, righteousness would not have been fulfilled. And we would still be in sin. We need to be happy that Jesus walked this earth for 2.5 years in a ministry of perfection. Where no mistakes were made. Where correct questions were answered. Correct lessons were taught. Correct words were spoken. A man who went about, as Peter said, doing good. A man who went about healing all who were oppressed because God was with him. We need to be happy about that. That Jesus Christ came and did what he did. And we need to be happy because he rose from the dead. Notice I did not say we need to be happy because he went to the cross. That was a sad thing that happened. That should not have had to happen to him. No one should have to suffer that kind of agony. But he did. But the happy part is, he overcame it. He arose from the grave. And because he arose from the grave, you and I can rise from the grave. And I'm talking about spiritual death. When we will rise from the grave as a child of God to live with God forever in heaven. And we do need to be happy about that. We need to be happy because there is a place for me and there is a place for you when this life is over. My favorite words are found in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Jesus is doing this now for us, and we should be happy about that. We should be happy that he's coming again. We should be happy that he's going to take us in his arms and receive us into heaven, and there we can live with him forever. And then finally, we need to be happy that we have an opportunity to obey. You know, there are a lot of people who will live and die and never hear the name Jesus. They will never understand salvation and what it could be. You and I sit here today, a saved people. We know what it's like to be in sin, and we know what it's like to have sin removed because we are children of God, and we need to be happy about that. Tonight, if you are here and you are not a Christian, I want to tell you, you need to be happy. You need to be happy because God has afforded you another opportunity to change that in your life. He is giving you another opportunity to give your life to him, to serve him, to be a part of him, to be a part of his family. And we're here happy to help you do just that. And if you need to do that, please let us help you do it. Tonight, if you are a Christian and sin has taken over your life once again, don't be happy about that. But be happy in the fact that you can still change. That God can forgive you of these sins and bring you back into the fold of safety where happiness is. And you can be happy with the family again. And you can be happy forever. Oh, I hope this is a happy lesson. And I hope that you can be happy with an understanding that as a child of God, happiness abounds. Because God was happy to do this for you. Jesus was happy to do this for you. Because He wanted to please the Father, and He wants you with Him in the forever. So tonight, my friends, be happy. Be a Christian. Be a happy Christian. If you're not a Christian, become a Christian tonight and be happy. If you are an unhappy Christian because sin is in your life, repent of that sin. God will forgive you and you can be happy again. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing.